Race.
On 11:16 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. Time On with Sam McClure.
For Holden Colorado LTZ. For a limited time, get 3 years free scheduled servicing. And Master Builders Training Victoria. Short courses now available. Visit mbavtraining.com.au. RTO 3935.
7 minutes past six. Hello and welcome to Time On. Sam McClure with you until 7 o'clock tonight. Sean Grigg, Richmond Premiership star Sean Grigg. We've got Commonwealth Games silver medalist and closing games flag bearer Jared Hughes to join us. Scotty Gallant from the Herald Sun. It's a jam-packed edition of Time On. We'll get to our guests shortly. But first, today the AFL, as it does this time every year, has issued its summary of total player payment earnings across the competition for 2017. Now, player payments were up 13%. It meant the average player is earning a tick over $350,000. What else we found out was there were 9 players who earned $1 million or more, up from 6 the previous year, and it sets an all-time record, beating the 2012 season where there were 8. And that's when expansion teams, of course, were set up and throwing big money around. Now, for journalists to work out who the million-dollar players are, in fact, for your general punter as well, it's not difficult. What we do know is that Franklin, Fife, Penderbury, Ablett, Tom Lynch and Tom Boyd almost certainly would be on that list. But ultimately, it's a guessing game. What we don't know, and what you don't know, is what everyone else is earning. Now, if you're an NBA fan, with one click of the mouse at home on your computer, or even a tap on your iPhone, you know that Steph Curry is earning $34,382,550 for this season, and LeBron James isn't far behind. In Major League Soccer, the MLS, the Players Union twice sends out a document every year with exact dollar figures of what their stars are earning. And in Major League Baseball, when a player moves clubs, which over there is almost every week, you know the full terms of the deal, including transfer and wage. If, as we have reported on this show several times and we believe to be true, the AFL is heading further and further towards the US model, particularly in as far as player movement, then I pose this question to you. Do you as a fan deserve to go to the footy on a Saturday afternoon or sit down on your couch or at the pub and know exactly what every one of your players are earning? Is it a necessity or an invasion? You decide. 9429 1116 0433 98 1116. Do you deserve to go to the footy and know what players are earning and say, well, he didn't play like a $500,000 player today, or he didn't play like an $800,000 player, or that bloke's only earning 120 grand. He should be earning 320 grand. I want to know what you think. 9429 1116 0433 98 1116. We've got prizes galore to give away. We've got golf balls. We've got double passes to the Melbourne Beer Fest at Katani Gardens. I want to know what you think about player payments and what we deserve to know or what we don't deserve to know. 9429 1116. Harry is in Clayton. Harry, kick us off on Time On.
Thanks for taking the call, man.
Of course.
The AFL and the AFL clubs are non-for-profit organisations. I'm a member of a club. Yep. I have the absolute right to know what the people in that organisation are earning of my money.
Mm. So, Harry, would it benefit you as a fan knowing what every player earns, not just your top earners, but also, you know, players that are at the bottom end or middle end of the scale?
It would allow me the opportunity to know if my club is mismanaging its players and its payment.
Yeah.
To know if they're overpaying or underpaying players, then have an understanding of what my club's doing.
Mm. Harry, it's a great call and I don't disagree with you. Peter is in Greensboro. Hello, Peter.
Yeah, g'day, mate. Do you honestly believe that we should know in the public interest that what the players are getting, like the Americans?
I think it's certainly worth asking the question, Peter. And Harry, our first caller and the previous caller, he certainly passionately believes that they should.
What do you make? You know what I mean? Are you happy to disclose what your salary is?
No, probably not.
Well, but you're in the public interest as well. So if you're going to be asking the question, we need to make sure that we're fair and reasonable, because if we're going to ask that of others, we should actually be prepared to put our neck on the line and say, well, we're making as well, don't you think?
Peter, it's a great call, and you've made some solid points. Steve's in Ferntree Gully. Hello, Steve.
Yeah, g'day. Agree with the last guy. I actually think it's got absolutely none of our business what the players are earning. I think unless it's everyone is openly disclosed, in particular in the media, as to what they're earning, the players have the right to have their privacy. I think it puts undue pressure on some of them. Knowing how much that they're earning, I think puts pressure on them that's just unnecessary given everything else that they've got to cop.
It's a hard one, Peter, isn't it, in a sense? Sorry, it's Steve. Steve, some players and their contracts, it comes out, and you know, you're reading the paper. Let's just take Dale Thomas for an example. When he made his big move from Collingwood to Carlton, it came out however it came out. It was reported that he was earning $750,000 a year and put a lot of pressure on him, Steve. So for some players, there's already that pressure, isn't there?
Yeah, look, there is. And, you know, that's a good example. Tom Boyd, when he moved.
Exactly, yep, you know, from GWS.
Another one. Whenever you talk about some of these players, you seem to be continuously linking how much money they're earning. And I just think it's totally unfair. Good luck to them if they're able to negotiate or their managers are able to negotiate the money. We've got to trust the clubs are doing the right thing. And we've got to make our decisions on the results. But to me, it's none of our business. And I just think it's wrong if we're going to go down that path.
Point well made, Steve. Appreciate your call, mate. Paul is in Brisbane. Oh, you must be listening on the app crystal clear.
Yeah, I am, Sam. Thanks. So, I like the show. I don't think it's a necessity, but I'd like to see it happen still. More not to judge a player on how they play based on their wage, but more how is our club managing the salary cap? You know, why do we have a Dale Thomas on 700 grand, but we weren't able to pick up another player because we're at the top end of our salary cap to know how well are we structuring it? Because I still think there's a lot of clubs who do that pretty badly.
So, Paul, I actually agree with you. Paul, are you a Lions fan, or are you just living up in Brisbane and Barrett?
No, I'm a Carlton fan, but yeah, okay. I moved up here a while ago.
So, Paul, can I just ask you this, mate? You're a Carlton fan, and Carlton, I don't think I'm saying anything unfair here, haven't made some good decisions when it comes to the recruiting of players.
Yep.
Do you think you deserve to know as a fan, like a lot of journalists try to know when they're making calls to footy clubs and player managers and other sources, what every player is on to therefore properly judge what your club is doing with your... Well, it's not your money, but it's your club's money.
Yeah, I think that's the intriguing part. I think when you go back over, decisions that have been made, I mean, I think a lot of the time when clubs go down the trading path rather than the drafting path, and Carlton has been probably one of the worst examples of it for the last 20 years, is that they've gone and grabbed guys that, you know, were probably not worth what, you know, they either give up in draft picks or what they're actually paying them. So I think that's where it becomes the most intriguing, where, you know, at the moment there's, you know, North Melbourne saying, oh, well, we can afford, you know, $2 million players and all that sort of stuff. Well, if you knew all the wages, you could say, well, Carlton and Brisbane are in the same scenario, or, you know, they've got a Jared Waite who's about to retire in, say, 2 years' time, and we know he's earning $500,000, so we can start to, you know, as fans, you can sort of forward plan a little bit like the club should be.
Paul, appreciate your call. We're going to get to some more calls shortly. First, I'm just going to read out a few SMSs because the text machine has absolutely blown up. Kate says, I think it will unnecessarily drive salaries up across the board and create divisions within teams. I certainly don't want that. Fair enough, Kate. Anyone that invests into anything should have full visibility of how and where their investment is being used. That's life in general, not just football. And another text, I don't care about money. It makes no difference to my support. I just trust the board and committee of my club. I do want to know how clubs pay the board. Okay, that's an interesting point. You can see it's a polarising topic, both on the calls and the text. Let's get back to the calls. Another Paul is in Berwick. Hello, Paul.
Yeah, g'day, mate. How you going?
I'm well.
That's all right. Look, we love the game and we're religious about the game.
Yep.
I don't go home at night and think, oh, geez, this bloke played well, this bloke played well. Let's have a look how much money he's on. This bloke didn't play well. Let's have a look how much money he's on. That's irrelevant to me.
Yep.
It's just that I go there every week to watch my team play well. If they don't play well, fair enough, they might get dropped. But I don't think I should know, oh, this bloke's on 800,000.
Hey, Paul.
He's only earned about 400,000.
Paul, can I ask you, mate, who you barrack for?
I barrack for Collingwood.
So, Paul, if... Let's just say it was known. Let's say every Collingwood player's salary was known. Would you go to the footy, and if Scott Penderbury had three bad games in a row, would you be saying Scott Penderbury's not worth $1 million a year?
Absolutely not. He has done enough for that club to justify three losses, three bad games.
It's probably a bad example, Paul, but I was just trying to... And I agree with you. Maybe we don't want to be getting to the point where we go over a game. If you're going with your mate or you're going with your kids, you go back home and you say, right, how much is Sam McClure earning? Well, he's not worth that. I actually tend to agree. It's a really good point. We should just be basing it on how we think they're playing or what we think their ability is. Ben's in Moonee Ponds. Hello, Ben.
Good evening, Sam. I just come from the mental health elements that someone sort of touched on before with the Tom Boyd scenario. Like, you know, with that additional sort of scrutiny, and you got the Travis Cloak and Chris Mayne as well last year, I think those instances would only rise.
Yeah. That's a fair point as well, Ben. Shane's in Williamstown. I just want, before we get to Shane, Ben, you make a really interesting point and one that probably doesn't get brought up enough, and it links back to a couple of the earlier callers about undue pressure. Unfortunately, the argument against that to some degree is that they already enter the game with a fair bit of pressure on them anyway. But I guess Ben's argument back to that is it's increasing pressure, and it's a fair one. Hello, Shane in Williamstown.
Yeah, g'day, Sam. Look, I think what players earn is nobody's business but their own. They're commodities. They negotiate what they're going to get, like everybody else does pretty much in the workforce. If everybody wants to be transparent, that's fine. Let everybody be transparent. But really, when it comes down to it, they don't have to tell anybody anything. And why should we know what Pendlebury earns? It's interesting. Look, it's interesting fodder to talk about.
Yep.
Good stuff like that. But really, who cares?
Appreciate it, Shane. Malcolm is in Macedon. Hello, Malcolm.
Yeah, hi, Sam. I would agree. I think I don't understand why it would be just the players. If you were going to disclose salaries, I don't understand why you'd limit it to just them. Should the coaches, should the assistant coaches, should the administration, why do we always just believe we've got some right to really just drill the players in terms of,
Well, they're the ones that don the Guernsey every week, I guess, Malcolm, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, but I just don't understand the right that any individual has to understand that person's salary. I mean, do you agree with it, Sam?
I think there would be problems associated with it for several reasons, and both those reasons that I believe have been brought up. One is that it puts undue pressure on players, Malcolm, and the other one, I think it monetizes our game to an unhealthy state. You start looking at players as financial commodities rather than potential.
I agree, and I also think the difference when we say, the US sports or the European sports, I mean, those monies are so extreme that people just can't comprehend the dollars anyway. But, a $300,000 player or a $200,000 player playing AFL is not the same comparison. I don't think we've got a right to understand that, but, those extreme levels that exist in those other sports, I can probably understand why that happens. But I think in an Australian context, some of those salaries aren't that extreme. So why do we have a right to understand it?
Very fair question that you raise, Malcolm. Appreciate everyone's calls. Hey, guys, we're encouraging more calls on this issue. Do we have a right to know what players are earning? Not just the top earners, but everyone on a list. 9-4-2-9-11-16. We've still got a double pass to the Melbourne Beer Fest to give away. Just to give you an idea as to how polarising this issue is, we've done a Twitter poll, and Twitter, particularly at this time of night when people are on the way home, very, very popular. At Time on SEN, should we know, should we not know? 46% say we should, 54% say we shouldn't. So it is as close as you want down the middle. More texts coming through. Sam, you can't tell me opposition supporters won't be getting into players about their salary when having a bad day, bad position. I agree, but, people, and I bring up the Daisy Thomas scenario again, some people already know. SMS. How about declaring the sum wage by the game so we know how a club's investments are being realised? I'm interested in the herd, not the individual. And another text coming through, which is a very, very fair one. Has Scott Pendlebury ever played three bad games in a row? The answer to that is no. Or if he has, I certainly haven't seen them. He's probably the most consistent player in the AFL. Sam McClure with you asking the question, do you have the right to know how much each and every one of your players at your club is earning, like they do in the States? A couple of quick calls before we get to Premiership star Sean Grigg. Heath's in Werribee. Hello, Heath.
G'day, mate. Yes, it'll be very, very quick. Now, let's even just talk about Grigger, for instance. we have no right to get involved in what their payments are worth. You know, he could be on $700,000 a year. Now, $400,000 of that could be for his on-field stuff. You get $100,000 for his media stuff that he's about to do right now. Then there's the charity work that he might get a portion of, or there's the fact that he gets on the website and does all of their marketing and whatnot. So there's so much more than just their on-field stuff.
Yeah, but the on-field is what goes into the TPP, the Total Player Payments, Heath. Appreciate your call, mate. Colin's in Murta. Hello, Colin.
Yeah, go, guys. Mine's slightly different. What about instead of knowing what dollar figure they're on, they're in like a bracket. So between 400 and 500, they're in bracket, I don't know, 4.
Okay, yeah. So you don't know the exact amount, Colin, but you have an idea.
No, because yeah, exactly. So then you can just if you want to know, and I don't think we should know, but then you can say, okay, half our team are in the bracket B. We've only got 2 to 600+ or whatever.
Mm. It's a polarising topic. Everyone wants to have their say. I'm keen to know what this man thinks about it. I speak of Premiership Richmond star Sean Grigg. They've named a very, very strong side to take on the Bombers in the JLT this weekend. 19 Premiership stars. Speaking of Premiership players, Sean Grigg, welcome to Time On.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks for having me, mate.
Absolutely. Hey, Sean, I don't know if you've listened to the last couple of calls. The phones have gone nuts off the top of the show about TPP and what we should know and what we have the right to know. Obviously, the AFL have released a statement today about what the average wage is and that there were $9 million players. Where do you sit and how comfortable would you be if the greater public knew what you were earning?
Oh, well, I think I heard the first caller, Heath. If he wants to be the Richmond list manager, I'll pay that.
He used 700 grand.
On 700 grand, I'll pay that. But for mine, it's probably, you know, we live our lifestyle, you know, in the public eye, probably enough. For me, I'd probably like to keep that pretty private.
No, that's fair enough. Hey, Sean, as we look down through your stats in the last few years, is it unreasonable to say that you're a premiership part midfielder, part ruckman?
Well, yeah, from last year, that's right. I had to play that role sort of out of necessity earlier in the year when Big Ben Griffiths went down with concussion one game, and it turned out all right. So, yeah, we just sort of kept running with it. So it was a bit of fun. It was different, but, sort of in my 11th year, it was good to play a different role.
It was a hot topic last year about you doing it, but when you think back about the previous couple of years, you were playing that role sort of in a slightly different way anyway, weren't you, as a third man up?
Yeah, a little bit. I've pinched hit every now and then, just when needed. But, like I said, out of necessity with Griff going down with his concussions, I just put my hand up and said, yeah, I'll help out and just sort of battle on as best I could.
You've had a bit of time now, Sean, to think about the premiership and reflect on it and take it all in. I'd love to take you back to May the year before in 2016. You guys were 1-6 and there were stories coming out, you know, left, right and centre about some players. And I know that your name was brought up wanting to, you know, have a meeting with Dan Richardson and talk about their future. Fast forward 12 months from that day, you're 5-2 the next year. And fast forward 18 months, you're a premiership player. I mean, in your wildest dreams, did you imagine the turnaround to be that short?
Oh, probably not, to be perfectly honest. It's amazing how quickly things can turn around in the football world. 2017 was a lot of fun, obviously, for the on-field stuff. But our environment off the field was sensational. Turning up to work every day was, you know, it was so good. And, you know, I was sort of first on there, last on to leave. I loved it.
Talking to Richmond Premiership star Sean Grigg at 31 minutes past 6. Hey, Sean, what about this year? I'll link you to Alistair Clarkson. He always used to talk about that his Hawks, who won 3 in a row, had to change every year, had to adapt to make sure they weren't playing the same brand. I think he even reflects on, you know, 2008, 2009, they got caught out. How different is the 2018 Richmond team going to be to 2017?
Yeah, we're really excited about it because last year was our first... first real crack at the way we played and the way we trained and all new assistant coaches and different players. So the way we see it, we've sort of been in that program sort of for 1 year. So we see a lot of upside to our game, offensively and defensively.
So, Sean, does that mean you think it'll be a similar way that you play that was so successful last year, but potentially, in all things going well, even better?
Well, obviously, a lot's been spoken about the pressure we applied to the opposition was probably the biggest change in our game. And, we're going to bring that every week again. That's sort of the cornerstone of our game. And, It's on us to bring every week, which is really good and really exciting.
Does it change the hunger, or does it make the hunger different now that you've achieved the ultimate success?
For me personally, it's probably a little bit different because I've tasted the success and you want it again so bad.
Yeah.
I've never had that feeling before in my life. So, and also the competition for spots around the club, we've got so much depth. VFL obviously played in the grand final, and we've got a lot of good players who played great VFL footy all year. So, if guys are looking too far ahead, then yeah, they'll lose their spot.
What about this year? Well, this week even, 19 players you're taking to Wangaratta to face Essendon. The attitude towards the JLT, I mean, 19 premiership players is a fair number. It looks like you're taking it pretty seriously.
It's exciting, isn't it? I think the boys have sort of had enough of the pre-season training, running around the Oval and competing against ourselves. We're looking forward to going out there and competing against someone else and putting into practice the things we've been training and building on over the last year and a bit.
What about the preseason, Sean? I'm not sure if you heard Bob Murphy's comments today. A lot's been debated in the last few weeks about how long the preseason should be. Bob's of the opinion that you should don't worry about November, December, and then you have another break. Just bring them back January and go full bore for 6 or 7 weeks. You've been around for quite some time now and done preseasons at two different clubs. What would you see as the utopia for a preseason?
Oh, I think it changes on how long you've been in the system, how many pre-seasons you've done, and probably your age. For me, yeah, we came back early December, and we got a great block of work in then, and January as well. So, yeah, for me, I think it's a bit different, sort of club by club or player by player, I think.
Sean, two quick ones before I let you go. I know it's a busy time of the year. Dion Prestia's hamstring, how is that travelling?
Yeah, I think he just pulled up a bit sore after one of our little scratch matches there. I don't think he'd be too far away. I think he'd be sort of maybe trying to eye off the second JLT game. From what I've heard around the club.
And Jack Higgins, a pretty exciting first round draftee. He's been named to play. What can we expect from him?
Yeah, Jack. He's going to be an exciting player. He buzzes around training, so pretty intense sort of guy. So you'll see him buzzing around probably half forward midfield. Pretty silky with the ball, so he'll put on some pressure and hopefully kick a few goals for us.
Sean, congratulations on the last few months. I'm sure some of it's probably still sinking in. Let's hope, I think all Richmond fans, all 100,000 of them out there, are hoping you can go back-to-back. Good luck for the weekend and good luck in 2018 defending the title.
Thanks, Sammy. Thanks for having me on, mate.
Sean Grigg there, Richmond Premiership star, formerly of Carlton. What was that trade, Mitch? Behind the glass, what was that trade for Sean Grigg? Was it Andy Collins going the other way? Yeah, they did amazingly well out of that deal, the Richmond Footy Club, and what a servant he has been, not just to Richmond, but to football. He's been a fantastic player now for a long time. Let's get through. We'll join the hunt, by the way, as a Richmond supporter. Sign up as a 2018 Richmond member. There are no better fans than the Richmond fans. Call 1300-RICHMOND or by visiting membership.richmondfc.com.au. What a period it's been for that club. Let's go through some of the JLT squads. If you're just tuning in, they have been released in the last couple of hours. As we've mentioned, Richmond taking on Essendon on Saturday at Wangaratta. Richmond have named 19 of their premiership players. No Prestia, no Broad, no Rioli. Essendon have named their three big recruits in Saad, Smith and Stringer. No Hooker and no Hurley. Adelaide taking on Fremantle. Bryce Gibbs is playing. Rory Atkins will captain because there is no Sloan, no Tex, no Brad Crouch and no Greenwood. Frio have named Wilson, Sandilands, Brayshaw to make his debut, well, in the preseason, Matera and Fife. Melbourne taking on North Melbourne. No Proust, so just Goldstein. Magic Dawes been named on the bench. And LDU, Luke Davies Jr., he's an excitement machine, that Haileybury boy. He is playing as well. And Melbourne, Lever is playing, named on the halfback flank. Balich is playing, the former Freo. He is on the bench. No Viney, no Tyson. And finally, Port Adelaide taking on West Coast. The Eagles, Hearn, the captain, is playing. Lysette, Yo, McGovern, Vardy are all playing. No Kennedy, no Shuey, no Nick Natanui. And Port Adelaide, there is no Rockcliffe for Port Adelaide, but Motlop is playing. Jack Watts is named at centre-half forward. Robbie Gray is playing. Jack Trengove is playing. Fantastic news. So some pretty strong squads been named for the JLT. Remember, AFLX took 1 week away from the preseason. So maybe clubs taking the JLT a little bit more seriously. Bryce Gibbs, by the way, you only get the big names at SEN, and particularly SEN Breakfast. Gary Lyon and Tim Watson, Bryce Gibbs will speak to them tomorrow morning. Make sure you're tuning in to that. Now, we mentioned this case, this story on this show a couple of days ago, the doping case of Jess Peris, is further developed today. ASADA has released a statement. The man who broke the story with the Herald Sun, Scott Gallen, has been good enough to join us. Scotty, appreciate your time as always. What have you made of ASADA's statement today?
Oh, thank you, Sam. Yeah, they're very interesting and very unusual for ASADA to make a statement in the middle of an investigation, as you know.
Yep.
What they've done is Jessica Peris released a statement and had a go basically at the testing, said she thought it was flawed, complained about how it had been 3 months in between the test and being told. So ASADA, they do have a rule in their rules that they can respond if the party has publicly spoken. So the Peris camp have opened the door. So now we know a lot more than we did a couple of days ago.
So what more do we know, Scotty, for those who haven't been following it as closely as you and I?
Well, we now know that she had not one but three banned substances in her system from an out-of-competition test in October. So there were three metabolites, which basically means there was three different things, banned substances in her system that were breaking down. And the positive test came, and then there was a blood test and another test later, which didn't show up. But as they've explained in their release, things in your body, they disappear at different times. So essentially, three banned substances were in there, which is... That's a horrendous thing for Jessica Peris, because a lot of these cases, you know, we've had examples in AFL, contaminated supplement, I took the sports drink. Yeah, that's become the in vogue explanation. This shows we're not talking about that. We're talking about masking aid. We're into the serious side of things.
So what's Jess's position on her innocence, Scott?
Well, she's claiming she in her statement, she said, "I did not take performance-enhancing drugs." And she said the system's flawed because it took 3 months for her to be told and only one test was positive. But as ASADA said, they had additional scientific analysis was required because of what that first test, the only positive test, showed up. So they've spent that time making sure that they need to investigate this. Mm. And it's still going. The B sample, they haven't made that public yet. We don't know the result, but 99.99% of the time, Sam, as you know, the B's the same as the A.
Yeah, innocent until proven guilty, Scotty, but it doesn't look good for her. We appreciate your time. We'll speak to you soon.
Always a pleasure.
Scott Gallen there. You can read his continued work on this story, the man who broke the story, in the Herald Sun. It is 13 minutes to 7. Well, it's just been capturing everyone's imagination, hasn't it? The Winter Olympics. The AOC has named silver medalist Jared Hughes as our flag bearer for Sunday's closing ceremony in Pyeongchang. And the man himself joins us on the line. Jared, welcome to Time On. How does it feel to be our flag bearer for the closing ceremony?
Yeah, thanks for having us, mate. It's a tremendous honour and I'm just stoked to be a part of it.
How does it sort of compare to the silver medal that you won in the snowboard cross? It won't compare at all, I assume, but you've had that time now for that to sink in. How do you reflect on it?
It's hard to reflect on and kind of compare the two because they're two very completely different things. Yeah. But, you know, it's a tremendous honour to be representing such an amazing team that we've had here at the Games. So I'm just really stoked to be representing this team. It's been a great team, a great Games, and it's just going to be an awesome cherry on top to finish these Games off with getting to carry the flag.
You still pinch yourself, Jared, when you wake up at the age of 22 and you're an Olympic medalist?
Yeah, I'm still pinching myself right now, so it's good.
What about your knee surgeries, Jared, that you've had? I mean, I mentioned your age. You're still very, very young. You've had 5 operations on your knees so far. Is that right?
Yeah, I've had 5 on the left knee, so not the best, but you know.
How many of those are recos, Jared?
2 ACL reconstructions, 2 cleanouts, and 1 meniscus.
And how is the left knee travelling now?
Oh, you know, it feels like a silver bullet at the moment.
Particularly with the silver medal. What's next for you, Jared? You come back home to Australia after the closing ceremony. You have a bit of a break back into competition?
Yeah, I'm coming home after closing ceremony and just going to sit around and enjoy the awesome Aussie weather and, you know, maybe get to go out and go watch some Comm Games and some Formula One events.
Yeah, perfect. That sounds great. Jared, congratulations. You're one of the truly great stories for Australians winning the silver medal in the snowboard cross. Enjoy the closing ceremony. Enjoy the rest of the games, and we hope to see you soon.
Yeah, mate. Thank you very much. I can't wait to be home.
Yeah, we can't wait to have you home, mate. Jared Hughes there, silver medalist in the snowboard cross. Well, what a magnificent games it's been so far, and they continue in the weekend. There's the closing ceremony. This has been Time On for Master Builders Training Victoria. Short courses now available. Visit mbavtraining.com.au and the Holden Colorado LTZ. Big on performance, big on technology, and big on safety. Before the break, Simon's on the road on 1116 SEN.
Yeah, g'day, Sam. Mate, I've got superannuation, and I know exactly what the CEO, the CFO, the Chief Investment Officer, yeah. I even know what the secretaries earn, because I've got super, because I'm a member. I'm a member of a club. I should know exactly what people earn, because not for nothing, my club went and breached the salary cap, and if we had known, we would have done something about it at the time.
Carlton Footy Club member, eh, Simon?
No, Melbourne.
Right. Do you want to know what every player at Melbourne earns?
Absolutely. Every player. I want to know what all the admin staff earn as well.
Can you understand, Simon, people... Sorry to cut you off, mate. Can you understand a lot of callers that we've had tonight who think it's an invasion of privacy and none of our business?
Yeah, and this is what it means to be a member. If you're a member of a super fund, they have to tell you by law. They have to tell you. This is no different. I'm not the... You know, I don't have the biggest amount of superannuation, but I know what the... Because while I was on hold, I looked it up. I know what the CEO of my super fund earns. Mm. It's, you know, it's public information because I'm a member, and that's the important distinction here. You're not a member working for just any company. If you're a member of an organisation, yeah, you have the right to know because you've put your money in. I've put my money in for 40 years now.
Simon, Simon, appreciate your passion. Last question, do you like a beer?
Oh, love one.
Well, you can have a double pass to Melbourne's Beer Fest, Saturday, March 3 at Catania Gardens in St Kilda. Sample from over 300 craft beers, ciders and spirits, food and live music. It's going to be a ripper day. Simon, wow. Is that right? Is that right, Doz? You know exactly what the CEO, everyone, all the executives earn if you're super fun? Okay. Wasn't aware of that. Time, as always, for Red Time Headlines. Before we do, Jason in Doreen joins us. Jason, welcome to Time On. You're our last caller for the night.
Sam, how are you, mate?
I'm very well.
No worries. Just, on the, payment issue, if you like, and people being subject to know what their players are being paid.
Yep.
Similar to what the last caller had, being a member, I effectively pay their salary. I pay my team that I support. I'm assisting in paying their salary.
Mm.
So obviously, I should know what they're paying, what they're being paid. If I go and see my team play and I'm unfortunate enough to see them what I think not putting in, then if I know what that player's on, I'm allowed to sort of harp and scream and jump up and down and think, why are we paying him that amount of money when he's going out and putting in that. Dribble of a performance, if you like.
Jason, not an unreasonable argument at all, and I think you've seen from the text and the call, it's a very polarising subject. Quickly to Red Time Headlines before the 7 o'clock news. Jordan DeGoey, just down the road, will play in Collingwood's intra-club match, which starts at 7, so in a couple of minutes, if you want to go and watch Pies fans, he spent today working as a landscape gardener. I shouldn't laugh. Chris Lynn in cricket has spoken a short time ago about his shoulder injury after flying back into Brisbane. This audio courtesy of Fox Sports News.
Won't say too much, we'll see how we go, but yeah, I don't know much for you boys. Sorry about that. It's quite tender, but as expected, it hasn't even been 48 hours yet, so it's hasn't even been 24 hours, so it's just quite frustrated and just angry, annoyed, you know, all of the above. It's not ideal, but cop it on the chin and try and move forward. And as I said, I'm missing out on the PSL, but get back to the IPL would be ideal. But see how we go, yeah.
A very flat Chris Lynn, as you can imagine. Let's hope he is fit enough with that shoulder to play in the IPL. Another bumper edition of Time On. Appreciate, as always, your input.